This summer, Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Now, what did we do last night, Ish? You've got a mischievous look about you.
No, just you know, had a couple of drinks in the bar,
right.
And we got back.
I see.
And then headed down to a pizza place, which was lovely, but had an early night, JB.
Very good.
All in preparation for today.
Right, okay. So professionally preparing.
Yep.
You decided to give that a try. Oh, I like it.
A little belated.
Got to try once in 25 days of Test cricket.
You're a bit like Alistair Cook.
Yeah.
You just waited this long.
The series is over. Then you go, day five, Sydney, you're going to be on the ball.
I like you, JB, who doesn't try it at
no,
all.
No, I've never given that a try. I don't really see the point of that. I was at a dinner thing last night that Trevor Bayliss was at, the coach of England, and they were real unhappy with the insinuation that there'd been any tampering with the ball. Like, furious. He just said it's absolute garbage.
What about Trevor Bayliss? Is that another example of Pommy bashing? Trev, you're from Goulburn.
The New Year's honours were announced today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. Heather Knight, OBE. England women's captain.
Nice.
Yeah.
Winning the World Cup this year.
Triple M's Heather Knight.
Triple M's Heather Knight, yeah. She came on for a bit.
Well done.
Kristen.
Isha Gua?
No.
No.
Hang on. They're looking at the ball.
Oh, hello.
Or are they? Oh, no.
No, there's something in the side screen.
Yeah, there's a red object.
Just for services to diction, Ish, you should be honoured.
Oh, yeah.
Services to innuendos.
Well, that as well.
Yeah. How many more on I was on my knees cracks are we going to endure this series?
Right.
On a surfboard, I've had.
Who else? Any other notables?
Yes, well, just from the England women's team. So Anya Shrubsole, who was instrumental in that
Alec
final.
Alec Bedser.
Now, so it wasn't a whole team MBE like...
No.
The men's team.
2005.
Paul Collingwood.
MBEs.
Shane Warne still... Every time you bring him up, doesn't he? He still mentions the MBE.
I mean, when he walked out the bat in that Sydney test, I listened to the stump mic and he said, how did you get an MBE?
The average seven.
You mediocrity.
Has Shane Warne got one?
Oh, no.
No. There are certain scruples that have to be met.
Mind you, Mick Jagger's been knighted.
Yeah.
So there is hope for Warne.
Yeah. Good bar scene at Coppersmith.
Very. Yep, very nice.
I saw you at Crown Towers at the bar. You just looked so bar-y. I mean, after the test match.
Oh, no.
You know how some people look ill at ease in a bar? Mark Howard.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't look
comfortable. He vanished into thin air again last night after a drink.
The moment he says, I've got to go to the gents, you know that the toilet window's open.
It's it. The phantom.
But you, salmon shorts, reclining, holding court, but listening to others, and with your beautiful partner next to you.
Yes.
Brad.
Yes. I would say, the Buzzard. How many hours? How many hours have I had to sit with him? And Blewett, by the way.
You've got a bit of chafing, haven't you? Just on your elbow where you've been leaning on the bar.
Yeah. Don't leave Blewett out of this same discussion.
Oh, I've got something on Blewett.
There's a man who's comfortable at a bar.
Blewett last night at the bar.
Or do we want to hear the rest of this? Blewett's just screamed into the back of the box, easy!
With lawyers.
All right, what happened?
So, Greg Blewett, leaning against the bar. We were in a bit of a circle. Gus Warland to his left, telling a story.
Eternal. Mm. He looks comfortable at a bar.
Does.
It was such a good story that I can't remember what he was talking about. But anyway, Greg Blewett, halfway through the conversation, decides to walk through the middle of the circle, past me to my right, over to a bunch of lads who were sat by the window, the other side of the bar, to get a picture taken.
No.
What, selfie?
Get a selfie.
That's not on.
No interest in Gus Wallen's story, Gussie.
Just put a flamethrower.
Yeah.
That is so inappropriate.
Oh, he's just saying it was a rubbish story. He'd had enough of it. He does have a fair bit of Mark Waugh in him, actually, Blewett, doesn't he? As in the brutal honesty, with not a lot of tact attached.
How to say I'm not interested in a look?
I don't think he's quite Mark Waugh-esque. He's the best, but he's got it, slabs of that in him.
Wait on.
Mark Waugh can part your hair, Skull, can't he, with brutal honesty?
Yeah. Mark Frank Moore.
Yes.
He can break your jets, oh, I know that.
Yes.
Bluey, g'day.
Morning, Gus.
How are you, mate?
Good. Very good. Sorry about last night.
That was fine. If you missed out, Bluey just walked out on one of my stories, which I must admit, sometimes aren't particularly fantastic.
No,
so.
I love your stories. But I was under a fair bit of pressure at the time. They were waving at me, come over, come over.
And about 10 blokes, wasn't there? Aussie lovers.
I saw lots of tattoos and alcohol. And I thought, no, I better not offend them. I'm going straight over before they get cranky with me.
That's the first ball that made my eyes open. Ooh, top's gone. No, but it is flat. Very, very flat. It's rock hard. I went out to have a look at it this morning. It's rock hard and so compact compared to the Perth pitch where... Now, by day three, the cracks are that wide, I could see my wife and kids down there. Not that I've buried my wife and kids, obviously.
Yeah, just... That's the problem, Swanee, isn't it, with this pitch? Like, it just doesn't break up. There's no footmarks to talk about.
It's almost like there's too much soil. It's been compacted together too tightly. Yeah. There's nowhere for it to go. It was like, honestly, at Perth, it's like plate tectonics are still at work, and you can see sort of Asia drifting closer. And
Gus, I always laugh when the Perth Test match is on, and they say, you know, the pitch cracks up, and they say, oh well, yeah, but it never produces any wickets anyway. But I remember getting a delivery from Curtly Ambrose, first ball in the second innings, hit a crack. And I reckon it hit off stump about an inch up.
Yeah, I remember that ball.
First ball.
And then
no
Mitchell Stark's ball to James Vince the other day as well. Yeah, you always hear it. Oh yeah, you see the cracks, but they never get you out. The ball will hit him and it won't get you out, mate. What? Was that the game where Curtly was backing up and he went to slide his bat and he got stuck in a hole and he was run out?
Yeah.
Yeah, with his bat just left sticking out of the ground.
Yeah,
brilliant.
He just blocked one out about 2 metres away, and Ian Healy just sort of backhanded it back to the stumps. And he went to slide his bat back in.
No run.
And it got stuck in a crack, out by a foot.
Oh, dear. That's good, though, because that's the sort of thing that would wind him up. And you want to wind up, girl. Yeah. You know, if the pitch won't do it, Dino will.
Triple M, Roxy Ashes. Let's go to Neroli Meadows. She's got an update on the Australian side for the Sydney Test.
Yeah, some breaking news. Ashton Agar has been added to the squad. So no Glenn Maxwell, no Dutchie Holland, no Stephen O'Keefe, who was the man this time last year. So Ashton Agar, the West Australian, he's played four tests, 9 wickets for 410 runs in those four tests. Certainly doing a good job for WA at the moment as well.
Thoughts on that, Greg Blewett and Graham Swan?
Yeah, well, they were always going to, I think, add a spinner to the squad. It was just a matter of who it was, I suppose. So, good to see Ashton Agar there. He's an up-and-coming star, I think. He's it wasn't a slow start to his career because what did he make in his first test? 99, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At your old stomping ground.
Before he was
Trent Bridge.
Brilliantly caught on the boundary.
I think Swanee caught him. I think Swanee caught him.
Yeah, he couldn't really bowl back then, but he could bat. he was the bowler, famously bowling when Stuart Broad was given not out.
Yes,
caught slip. And I'll still to this day I'll still raise my hands and praise Australia and the Australian media for being in uproar at the fact that an Englishman didn't walk when it's actually part of the constitution over here that thou shalt not walk unless thou misses the bus. There's a brilliant bit of an interview with Uzzie Khawaja this morning. They're asking about his catch yesterday. And they're saying, oh, so you think fair dinkum, you caught it and everything. And he said, yeah, I felt it roll up my arm. And I believe him, I think. But then he goes, I've never, done anything knowingly dishonest on a cricket pitch. You know, I never claimed a catch that wasn't. And he was about to say, and I walk when I nick it. And he went, that's it. It was great.
Broad is bowling at the moment. And can I ask you, Swanee, you're great mates with him. Would he have got a lot of confidence out of firstly taking that barrage of short bowling and then taking the piss and batting so beautifully and getting 50-odd?
He would have enjoyed it immensely. I'll tell you what the best thing about him would have been. The first couple of short ones he got and when one did hit him, the fact that it was about 15 miles an hour slower off the pitch here at the MCG. This is like batting in England, let's face it.
And that, you know what I've been saying the whole series, that the whole reason England have been blown away on Australian conditions. Everyone's great in their home conditions. Conditions that suit the opposition, and Australia are behind the game here. That's it in a nutshell for me. So as soon as Broadie realised it was like batting in England and he could just tee off a bit more and not get hurt, it was that simple for him. And he had a massive smile on his face. I was pleased for him, actually. Because believe it or not, and you Aussies won't know this because you read your media and you believe it, which is your biggest fault, you think Broadie's a shit bloke. He's not. He's one of the best blokes going. Genuinely nice fella. And I felt for him. He's having to go out and get absolutely peppered. He got hit badly in the face by India a few years ago. Like, really badly. Like, couldn't sleep for weeks and had nightmares and all sorts. So his confidence has completely disappeared from his batting.
No, you're right. He's a lovely bloke. And what do you think he's got left in the tank, Swanee? He's played international cricket for a long time now.
I don't know. He's not actually that old. So Jimmy Anderson's 34. Broadie's about 32, I think. Cook is 33. You know, they started so young that you think they've been around forever. But, I mean, I don't really know with a fast bowler what happens to your body at the age of 32, 33. I suppose you start getting a bit stiffer at night, don't you?
If at all possible.
I always got stiff at night after a good day, long bowl. So maybe he's not got that long left. But you never know, because he'll get back to England and it'll be like a bit damp and it'll be early season and pre-season and he'll be nipping it around. He'll find an extra yard of pace, trust me, they all do. And all of a sudden, you go, hang on a minute, I've got another 40 wickets in here, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Nah, they do it tough, the quicks, there's no doubt about that. You know, most of the pitches around the world are rock hard, so, you know, you run in and the body takes an absolute pounding, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's, I mean, just gets harder to keep doing it.
What I'd say to him, and what I said to him the other day is, I said, look, and you hear it from everyone who finishes saying, look, you're a long time retired, play as long as you absolutely can. And they definitely need to, because even though they earn a lot more money these days than people used to, and Broadie will be set for a long time when he finishes, he's not got to miss this, so he's minted. Not got anyone to waste all his money for him.
you can hear the pounding on the pitch at the moment.
No, that was my head on the desk thinking about all the money my wife spent.
The ground staff are out there. It's in the area that Broad lands his feet from around the wicket to Warner.
Yeah,
I was trying to fix that.
I wanted to play as long as I possibly could. And I honestly thought, I bowl spin, I field slip, I bat number nine. Nothing's stopping me. I'll go forever. I played till I'm 40. John Embry played when he was 41. I thought, no, what are you doing that shape of money thing?
No, I was thinking your fingers.
I thought you're doing in for the cash, Gus. And I thought, oh, he's changed. But yeah, and then like all of a sudden, I couldn't play him. I couldn't feel my hand, couldn't bowl anymore. And you don't know what to do with yourself. And I still watch now, and I'm a better bowler than most still. And I can't feel my hand.
What do you mean you couldn't feel your hand?
Oh, I've got nerve damage in my fingers.
Oh, right.
And so that's why...
Yeah, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. Not really. When you're four balls and over, you let go of, and you wonder where they're going. And so I think I knew it was it for me when I was bowling at Nathan Lyon and Ryan Harris, and I thought it was actually Jack Callis and Brian Lara.
Talking about sore bodies, we used to laugh at Warnie when every morning he'd get to the warm-ups and he'd be trying to get his shoulders over, and it's like he's just run three marathons the day before, and then someone would kick him a footy. He'd start sprinting around. As soon as he got an AFL footy in his hand, off he went.
Speaking of the Great Southern Stand, if you have a good look just over mid-off, if you're batting from the members' end, there's one yellow seat in the second tier. Is where Simon O'Donnell hit Greg Matthews. Is
it second tier, third tier?
Third tier. Well, no, you'd call that second tier, wouldn't you? Oh, I don't know.
Well, ground, first tier, second tier.
Second tier, righto, second tier.
Yeah.
And nuts. When you stand out at where Dave Warner is now, the non-striker's end, the batting part of it, and you look up at that yellow seat, that is a monstrous
long, play. Long way away. It's a massive hit, huge. Yeah. Simon O'Donnell had the ability to do that.
He did. Am I right in saying that a tour group came out and the tour leader pointed out to a group of people from Ireland who are out here looking at this mighty Coliseum that Simon O'Donnell had hit the ball up into the second or third tier, and that, if you can see it up there, the tour leader said the yellow seat up there is how far the ball went. And the Irish bloke said, "You're joking." He hit it straight into the only yellow seat in the ground.
To be fair, he didn't have to be an Irishman. He could have been a fast bowler, that bloke.
Gus Warnon with you, Kerry O'Keefe and Isha Gua in the chair as well. Good morning, especially to you, Ish. How are you?
Oh, love it, Gus. You've always got a lovely smile on your face as well. It just brightens up my day.
Thank you, mate. How are you going, Skull?
Well, I tell you, it won't brighten up her day because the match referee has asked to see her after the game.
What's happened? What has Gua done?
Excessive appealing.
I can't help myself.
Been fined half of a Triple M match fee. And none of us are throwing in to make it up.
Have you been impressed, Kerry, with Curran?
Had to think about that one.
Can I get back to you?
Kerry. You can. Curran bowls that slow ball you're talking about, Ish, but Warner's good enough to work it to the leg side to get a single.
And that's the thing. It's... He's got to be so precise with where he bowls it. That was sort of back of a length. He was able to sort of wait for it and turn it off his legs. That's the sort of ball that he needs to be bowling where he's getting David Warner playing away from his body and getting him driving.
I think if you're on debut as a fast bowler and your most dangerous ball is a back of the hand leg spinner... Sorry to mark him hard. He's young, he's feisty, he's energetic, he's fit, he charges in, he's committed.
I hope he gets a wicket now. Come on, Karen. Come on, boy.
His mum and dad in the member stands just dropped off their perch.
Oh. Oh. Big birthday today, a try.
Oh, yes.
LeBron James.
Ooh.
Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Oh.
And Brad McNamara.
Yes.
Two sex symbols and Tiger.
If people don't know, Brad McNamara is our executive producer, played a long time for New South Wales.
And we couldn't do without him. He's a terrific fellow. He's the glue in our commentary box.
I feel terrible. I forgot to say happy birthday to him this morning. I said it to him last night, though, so.
52.
Tell you what, those birds are loud, aren't they? Are they the fake birds?
No, they're the... Are they the gulls?
I feel like it's fake birds that goes out through the speakers to try and...
We don't fake birds in Australia, mate. Come on.
You went out with a few birds, didn't you, before you met your wife?
What's that?
She's being cheeky.
We're not all fake. Leave our birds alone.
Come on, please. Yeah, over, mate.
Oh, dear.
Gus, do you think our birds are fake?
No, I don't think so.
No, our birds aren't fake. Yeah.
Maybe some bits of them.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I see you saw a few of those in LA when I was there.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. The bolt-ons.
Gus, when do you resume on the grill team?
22nd or 23rd, whatever that Monday is in January.
So you've got... January 4 to 8, Test cricket at the SCG. Quick turnaround time.
And in 2 weeks, just with my wife and my daughters, because my son has just arrived in Germany for his first trip with his beautiful girlfriend, Sophie.
Ah.
I wake up every morning and I go straight to the Messenger family app and look at what he's got up to during the day, and they just seem so happy together and riding around bikes around Germany.
Lovely.
Drinking, eating, having a good time.
In the Hofbrau house.
Oh. Yeah. Drinking mineral water, of course.
Is she a Sophie from Cromer or a Sophie from Mönchengladbach?
She is a Sophie from Eleanora Heights.
Of course she is.
My son's first love.
Oh, that's brilliant, mate. Well, I hope they enjoy Germany.
Yeah. Do you remember your first love?
Me.
I found out something interesting the other day, boys.
Mm-hmm.
We're staying at the Olsen.
Yeah.
And
nice pub.
Yeah. Apparently they... not that you've spent much time in the pub, Kerry.
No.
So they had a Banksy on the wall for a little bit, and they put out a...
What's a Banksy?
A Banksy. Banksy is a famous artist that no one actually knows who he is.
Oh. Wokes in. Again to Warner. He's defending. No run.
We think he comes from Bristol. But... he is anonymous, and they had a Banksy on the wall and basically sent out on social media a competition that people could basically have the opportunity to try and steal it.
Ooh.
And they could keep it, which I think is very random because it's probably worth about 15 grand.
Wow. Ish, you and I are about to be replaced by JB and Merv, but we have to get to the end of this Banksy story. If you can give us a 30-second where you're up to and then the finish.
So Banksy painting in the Olsen, they put out this competition on social media to say you can have the Banksy painting if you manage to steal it, which is so random in itself. 15 grand painting.
Mm.
And someone managed to do it. A security guard came in, said that the painting needed to be taken off to be placed in storage and stored away in safety, and then ended up giving it away to the guy and stole it. And all I've got is this picture of Kerry O'Keefe in a bathrobe with a glass of champagne in his hand, sat in his dining room with a Banksy painting on the wall.
And I looked at that ball in slow motion replay from Dawid Milan, and it reminded me of
you?
Me.
Oh! No.
No.
Well, man, I've seen more rotations on a court. And Warner, what was he thinking? Rigid defence for his whole innings. Joe Root comes on. Every time he sees Joe Root, he's got to have a swing at him. Whether it's the walkabout bar or a test match.
Hey, Kerry, and can I say, the research you do is fantastic. As by design, in front of you there, 300... It's War and Peace in front of you with your research. Gus has got 3 or 4 pages. I've got stuff all.
And it shows.
The best analogy I've heard given of cricket, 2020, one dayers and test match, was Stewie McGill, who loves his wine, loves his red wine, and he said basically the 2020... is an introduction. So the 2020 is going to the winery, having the sample glass, having a taste of that. If you like that, you go back and get the bottle, which is one day cricket. And the people that know what they want, just go and get the case, which is test match cricket. And that's 2020 is introducing new people to the game.
Now they're the ones with a drinking problem.
For all the Victorians listening out there, what about Dutchie Holland? Does he deserve a chance?
Sadly, he passed away earlier in the year.
John Holland.
Oh, sorry.
Left arm orthodox from Victoria.
Sorry, Kerry. I should stop using nicknames. John Holland. John Holland.
Yeah. That would be a good effort for Dutch to write.
He
does go well at the SCG.
I completely threw you there. I apologise for that, Kerry.
Ashes to ashes.
Oh. Right, guys. I've just been handed a message from our producer.
Yep.
The MCG also implement a noise deterrent system that emits a sound that helps stop the unwanted birds from congregating on the pitch.
Anything?
So I wasn't going mad.
Yeah.
All you lot thinking I was crazy.
Where's it gone now?
There's one seagull up there hovering around, thinking about it.
As I say, I just think the spider cams got them all bluffed. They go back to wherever they congregate and they say, you should see this thing around the MCG. Black, wires out of its bum, flies around.
The biggest eye you've ever seen?
Yes. Very weird bird.
We used to get lots of them at the Adelaide Oval, James, especially in the afternoon.
I remember you
hundreds.
Killed one once.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Not on purpose.
You killed a bird.
Bluey?
Saved four, though, didn't he?
Did. He did one of his trademark pull shots off the hip, straight into an unsuspecting seagull. Dead. Ish.
It's not funny, Ish.
As?
I'm not. I'm not laughing.
No,
I'm
there.
Just...
On...
I just can't believe what I'm hearing.
On impact, dead. And the ball didn't go for four.
No.
Bluey, your bird killer.
He is. Exactly. And don't worry.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
That message spread around Adelaide quickly too. Look out.
He kept that one quiet, didn't he, JB? He kept it quiet.
Don't worry about that.
All this talk of birds.
That's it.
Didn't know he killed one.
I wasn't going to bring it up. And I would like to stress I didn't try and do it. So all the animal lovers out there.
Yes.
It was a
unfortunate well, it wasn't a mistake. It was an accident.
Feathers just burst everywhere. Oh, Bluey, I remember it. Oh, I was in next. I was gone. Good shot. Ooh. Oh, Rocky. What's happened to the bird?
What about you two yesterday? There was a horse race on. There was a horse that a few of us were backing called
Poppy Rocks.
Poppy Rocks.
The Fansdale Race 7.
So Poppy...
Rain delay here at the ground.
So we're out the back. Lots of media people here. And we are giving it to Poppy.
Get up, Poppy.
And we've got Ish going, come on, Poppy.
Come on, Poppy. That was a great description, by the way.
Thank you.
Terrible. So I've got a way deeper voice than that.
Poppy Rocks gets the, gets the cash, gets the money, and we're going absolutely nuts, aren't we? You're not. You haven't even got any money on it, Ish, and you're still excited.
No, $10.
Oh, she was on.
Little 10?
She was on. Little cheeky 10. Well, then what happened, Merv? You're best to describe it.
Well, a bloke from BT, the commentary box next door, opened the door up and said, can you please keep it down? To which I replied, piss off, mate. Give us a break. There's no cricket on. Come out your door and tell us what to do, champ. We're Triple M. We can do what we like. We rock cricket, don't we?
We certainly do. We rock the Ashes.
Tell you what, I'd be pooing my pants if I walked out the door and saw Merv there and had a go at him. Wow.
The bloke ducked his head out, said it, looked up, saw it was Merv. Door was shut very quickly.
Retweeted. I was going to say...
Retreated.
That's his day and age. I'm just in the tweet, mate.
Yeah, I know.
He Poppy retweeted.
Go on, Poppy.
Go, the popster.
How do you get Steve Smith out on a road? What's the formula for Coca-Cola?
I know... Okay. I know Steve Smith's
weakness.
Who has
the answer?
I know Steve Smith's weakness.
What is it?
Kryptonite.
I'm not sure about that. No. Might even be better than Superman.
Well,
no one's better than Superman. Kryptonite. It'll do the trick. You find some kryptonite, you will find Steve Smith's downfall. Kryptonite, good length, off stump.
That's what I could never understand watching. I watched every Superman episode back in the day. How just by taking his glasses off and putting them back on, nobody recognised him. I mean, how did that happen? Yeah, I mean, Merv Hughes looks the same without glasses.
That's true.
You know, like, Clark Kent would put the glasses, take them off his Superman, put them back on. Oh, hello, Clark. Yeah. How did Perry White and Lois Lane, not Jerry, maybe it's him.
And they're intelligent people. They're running a whole newspaper.
Yeah.
Hang on. Running a newspaper and intelligent in the same... No, no, seriously.
And how he ran into that back lane and there was never anybody in it.
Or the telephone booth?
No. Yeah.
Ah, so this is what you used to do before Big Bash.
Yeah. and instead of, still.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Good areas I'd here. Love, at the, at, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, mate.
No, you go on. I was going to talk about cricket. Sorry.
No, you go.
My mistake. It's lost on me now.
My stuff will be as uninteresting as yours.
Less uninteresting, though. Love you, boys.
Where's Mick Molloy today? Has he just caught a tram to Paran and flicking through Wisden 175?
He's turned into Tiger Woods.
Oh,
he's got the bug.
He's a...
Playing golf.
He's a sex addict.
Yeah. Oh, he's playing golf.
Oh, sorry, golf. Sorry.
All the time.
My mistake.
Yeah, well, that's good. Jimmy Barnes found golf late and he became addicted. I think he was off about 27 or 32, but just played every day. Nothing against Jimmy's golf, but how could you be so enthusiastic when you know you're going to have 130? And that's why Steve Smith, great, he knows he's getting 130.
Enthusiastic.
And he's still enthusiastic.
Very good.
Over to Murph for some pop.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, you know when Kerry's got a good one out, it's just a laugh, and at the end of it, it's just like, you know, that's a river. That's a 10 out of 10. Scale keeps delivering on a tough wicket. I'm giving you nothing.
Oh, it's great to be with you, too. I love my sessions with you. It just feels like we're all sitting around having coffee. You're having a flat white, I'm having a long macchiato, and Murph's having a beer.
I was going to say an Irish.
And not my first either. Been here for a while, Scott.
Well, that's... If I had to look at what you're saying, I think you're 18 beers in.
Now, Scull, I don't know if you heard, in the previous stint that we did.
Mm.
Bluey and I were reminiscing about a Shield game in Adelaide where Greg Blewett opened the batting against New South Wales and Mike Whitney came in and bowled the first ball, well, in the first over anyway. One of those trademark sort of hip-high halfway down is that Bluey used to just pound for fun. Smashed this pull shot off his hip and the ball fired away just backward a square. The ball hit like a tracer, and as it hit the ground, it also hit a seagull.
What?
Which exploded on impact.
Oh, no, bird killer.
That, well, this is what we discussed. So, Ish especially, who was on with us, took exception to Bluey's behaviour. And there might be, we're just waiting on confirmation, we might have to wait till after the drinks break, there might be, well, more to it.
Let's did put it he, that way. Did he go over and cradle the bird? Or?
No. He was angry because he didn't get four runs. The bird...
Say four.
Stopped the ball.
Oh, insensitive.
Really?
That is just not on. That's inappropriate behaviour, Bluey.
Well, as I explained, Skull,
yeah.
Of course, I wasn't trying to hit the seagull. I was actually trying to hit the ball to the fence. The seagull happened to get in the way.
Oh, your turf? Oh, there's no excuse.
Couldn't have got into a worse spot, that seagull.
Oh.
It wasn't like it sort of bounced, and then hit the bird. Like, it was as the ball hit the ground, intercepted with a bird.
Do you think it died instantly?
Instant.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I had no chance.
How many birds it have you killed on the golf course?
It was...
Is it 4-1 golf?
It was like it sat on a grenade. Oh. Skull. It just exploded.
Feathers flew everywhere.
You're an IED man. That is... You've hit a few on the golf course, I bet.
I don't think so.
So we think there might be a development. Ishigua, this is what we keep saying about her. She's just a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh.
She's got, I think, onto something. And anyway, we're going to get to the drinks break shortly, and then we're going to get her on and see if she might have uncovered something.
She's got the bird?
No.
Okay. Do you think when the seagulls get on the sauce the night before at their Ari?
Yep.
Talking about where you're going to fly tomorrow. I think I might drop down Adelaide Oval.
Mm.
Oh, I've heard it's flat. Watch out for Blewett.
Yeah, I'm about to say, only if Blewett's not at the crease.
Yeah, so one of them's ignored that.
Yep.
At its peril, obviously.
Well, and what I think we'll hear after the drinks break is that if that was whispered around the campfire, too many ignored it. They took him on.
Bluey, do you accelerate and try and hit galahs on country roads?
No.
Just to recap, Sheffield Shield match, I think it was in the early 90s. Greg Blewett, trademark swivel pull shot skull, which we all saw and absolutely loved, just pounded anything halfway down. This one, and it couldn't have flushed it any harder. And as the ball first hit the ground, it also hit this poor, unsuspecting, stagnant seagull on the Adelaide Oval, which exploded upon impact. And that was the end of the seagull. So we were discussing it on air, and Ish branded him a bird killer, to which Bluey said, well, one off, and I didn't mean to, and all the rest of it. So, Ish.
So I did a bit of digging.
Yes.
Greg Blewett portraying this good boy image.
Mm. Go on.
There's a lot more to Bluey than we originally thought.
Oh, hello.
In his debut test match, listen to this.
Bowling from round the wicket, and that's a no ball, and it's also four, smashed into the gap on the offside. The seagulls go flying again. In fact, one of them's down. That really was hit very, very firmly, and one of them is down there.
He'll only be stunned. They put him down in the gutter for a while. I'm sure he'll revive and start to flutter off again.
It's
spoken like a true Greg Chappell.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so Bluey.
And it did.
So you're a serial killer.
A serial bird killer.
Yes.
I can't believe it. No. I'm going to have to leave this room.
I knocked him out.
Yeah.
And he came good in the gutter as GC and fluttered off.
Yeah.
Just as GC suggested.
As you said, I mean, it'll be all right. It's only Bluey playing the ball shot.
The funny bit about the vision, I don't know who the English player was that grabbed the bird.
Devin Malcolm, probably.
Anyway, as he's walking the bird off to dump it in the gutter, as Greg Chappell said, its head was wobbling just up and down.
Oh.
It was in all sorts. At that point, So, Ish...
Put it in the gutter.
This is a recidivist.
Yeah. Oh. I don't even know what that word means, to be honest, JB, but...
Someone who does it more than once.
Oh, no. Yeah, more than one time.
Skull, you're killer. Seeing it.
I'm seeing the vision. The bird... Oh, the bird is still nodding. I'm okay. Don't put me in the gutter.
Oh, no.
Oh, that is terrible. You are son of Sam when seagulls are concerned. Oh,
got away with it. Did Bluey.
Yeah, apparently it's still there, that bird.
That's it.
It's about 30-odd years old. Lying in the gutter. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I'm good.
Is that your best Blue Boy?
That discussion around the...
Fantastic vision.
It still went for four. Oh. I was a bit happier than the previous
That's
one.
The positive.
He forgot about it. It went on to 100 on debut.
What about the bird being alive?
Around the seagull campfire, they must have just said, that. What about Stan?
Yeah.
We've all warned him about Blewett. He wouldn't believe us. He went where he shouldn't have gone.
He was blind last night. We said, don't go there.
Exactly. Exactly right. You idiot.
You wake up hungover, you go to where you shouldn't go.
Are you saying it was his own fault?
Yep.
The bird, yeah. He was warned the night at the Seagull RSL.
Told not to go there.
They were on the piss. Don't go, Bluey, you'll be there.
Bird killer.
Yeah, that's it.
I showed him.
Let's just show Big Merv a picture my wife sent me through. Well, my mum sent it, actually. My son, Wilf, who's six. He's made himself a lanyard with Wilf Swan, commentator for BT Sport.
What about Triple M?
Very, very cute. Yeah.
There's one next to him saying Big Bear commentator. And that's BT Sport as well.
I'm not sure
his mum would let him listen to Triple M.
Why not?
Bit raunchy.
I've no idea why.
She doesn't like rock music. She'd be jealous of you, Ish.
I believe this.
She shouldn't like me sitting next to nice girls like you. Tell you that much.
I'm not a nice girl.
Very good, Mum.
Are you not?
Steve Smith defence.
This just got interesting.
I'm just mean.
Oh, right.
No. Spotty, you're leaving at the end of this over, aren't you?
He's lost a point, isn't he?
I'm going to have to at this rate.
MCG, test match just eking towards, I guess a satisfactory conclusion if you're a fan of the Australian team. Much rather draw a match than lose it to England, but... At the moment, as I see Greg Blewett wander in, as well as Kerry O'Keefe, we're doing our very best to polish some pretty brown, pungent stuff at the minute. Skull?
Well, I'll put a layer on that.
It's just not cricket. The Discovery Holiday Parks. Triple M rocks the Ashes. Triple M rocks.